In 1801, he signed a concordat with the Vatican, with Pius VII, in which the Napoleonic regime recognized Catholicism as, quote, the religion of the majority of French people, close quote. It was not to be the state religion. You'll recall the constitution that would be drafted called for freedom of religion, but it acknowledged that that Catholicism was the religion of the majority of the French people. The state agreed to pay the salaries of bishops and priests, who in turn would give an oath of loyalty to the state. French bishops and archbishops were to be nominated by the state, but to be confirmed in Rome by the papacy. Napoleon, if these matters dealt with the relationship between church and state inside of France, there are other aspects of the concordat that suggest the international implications of this. Napoleon promised, for example, to recognize the papal states in Italy. Pius VII and his predecessors had been quite worried about French revolutionary governments, French revolutionary armies, and now Napoleonic armies actually seizing these papal states, this band of territories across the center of the Italian peninsula. Napoleon promised to recognize those papal states. This concordat with the Vatican was enormously popular in France. It was tremendously successful in an instrumentalist sense that ended the split in the clergy, between the constitutional clergy and those that had remained loyal to Rome, and in the population. The concordat was especially popular in the countryside. The French peasantry, who, as we've seen, had had this ambiguous relationship with the revolutionary regimes, happy with the land reforms, and happy to take church land, but at the same time unhappy with the humiliation of the church, humiliation of priests, and the attack on organized religion that seemed to come in the worst days of the Reign of Terror. These aspects of the regime then certainly solidified Napoleon's hold on the population. But if these factors were consistent with the revolution, other aspects of this Napoleonic regime were not. One could argue that the elections and the plebiscites were window dressing, that the plebiscites weren't going to overthrow or to reverse a decision made by the regime. His opponents claimed that Napoleon was really a dictator, if one with great popular support. Certainly, the system was maintained by secret police and very, very strict censorship. Newspapers in Paris. The number of newspapers in Paris shrank from 73 in 1799 to 13, down to 4. They were closely watched, closely censored by the regime. Secret agents supervised the press and the arts under Napoleon. Surveillance of enemies was common, and arrest of enemies or potential enemies was also commonplace. One also sees a somewhat chilling development here, which was that some opponents or potential opponents of Napoleon were arrested or taken into a kind of protective custody and then sent off to mental institutions. Not to prisons, but mental institutions. Still, for whatever repressive qualities this Napoleonic regime displayed, the Napoleonic Empire was enormously popular in France, certainly down to 1812, 1813. Most of the population clearly believed that the regime had consolidated the most positive gains made during the revolution. And in addition to this, and this will be the subject of our next lecture, Napoleon had restored grandeur to France. The military victories, the great empire, was the greatest empire since the Roman Empire that Europe had seen.